From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Robin Hilton, and we're here with the Milk Carton Kids.
So happy to have these guys. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Very happy to
be
here.
Hey, guys.
So for those who don't know, the Milk Carton Kids make music that bridged the gap from, in my 1960s brain, because I'm older, between the Smothers Brothers and Simon and Garfunkel. They're funny and they're beautiful.
And just the music is beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks, just, guys. Yeah.
Didn't want you guys to let that go to your head.
Well, it did.
And they've got a new record out called Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be really cool to just bring them by. They could play a song for us, and then we just go on with our regular show.
Yeah, play it live here in the studio with their guitars.
Yeah. Before we get started, do you guys need anything? Coffees or anything?
Yeah, thank you. I'll do a chai latte. Please, with warmed soy milk.
Oh, boy.
Just 1.5 sugars, a little bit of caramel if you have it.
Are you kidding right now?
2 straws, 1 stirring stick. And please, if you don't mind, just no disposable cups. I'd like an actual mug for environmental purposes.
Oh, man.
What?
That's a pretty elaborate drink. I better get Kenneth's maybe, and you do Joey's.
Yeah, no, like I'm experienced at that one.
Sorry, guys. Honestly, I'm fine with water as long as it's like between 40 and 42 degrees. So I'm pretty easy.
No problem, guys. Be right back.
Why did you order that stupid drink? They're not baristas.
But I've always wanted to host an episode of All Songs Considered. Don't you see?
No, what do you mean?
They're out of the room now for like 20 minutes. Lock that door.
All right.
And now we can take it over. We're going to pretend to be Bob and Rob while they're making my ridiculous soy whatever I said.
Yeah.
And we're going to play the songs we want to play.
All right. I mean, it's true. Those guys are pretty boring.
Yeah. You never liked them anyway.
Yeah.
So what? All right. So what have you been listening to lately?
Jim Campolongo and Honeyfingers.
Jim Campolongo and Honeyfingers. That's good music.
Yeah. Do you know them?
I do know them. Let's play a song.
All right. Here's Jim Campolongo and Honeyfingers.
We're doing it.
Thank you.
That's Sweet Nothings, Jim Campolongo, and Honey Fingers. Do you know Jim? Have you ever heard Jim before?
I don't, but that song was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I heard some other songs from this album of theirs, which I guess just came out, right?
Yeah, it just came out a few weeks ago, I think September 5th or something.
That song
September
that you 1st. Just played, that wasn't even my favorite one.
No?
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, the first, 16 bars of that song, I thought it was the pedal steel player from Honey Fingers, Johnny Lamb, who's an insane pedal steel player also. After you buy his album, go YouTube this song, and you can see Jim playing the first 16 or 32 bars of this song on the telly, and it doesn't compute that what's coming out of the amplifier is coming off like a six-string fretted instrument.
Yeah, there was a lick right in the first two bars that threw me off, and I thought it was pedal steel. He plays 8 or 9 notes.
Right, and the composition's kind of that way, like the scale that he used or the whatever, just the run that he uses is sort of there.
Right.
The other crazy thing is I had to ask who wrote the song, because it felt like classic country. It had such a strong...
Like it could be an instrumental version of a classic country song.
Yeah, or even, back in the days when instrumentals actually sold records, it could be just a classic instrumental.
Was that?
Yeah, 40s, 50s. I mean, there's all kinds of,
I wasn't alive back then. I don't remember.
What's that Booker T. Jones song, Green Onions?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be an anomaly.
I don't think it's an anomaly. I mean,
plus, that guy, that was not the 40s. We just saw that guy at a festival. That guy was not doing that in the
40s. That was his first hit. He was 17 years old.
But that couldn't have been the 40s.
But 1962, early 60s.
Yeah, it's pretty special when you get an instrumental song that carries you the whole way through. And when I get to the end of that song, I forget that there haven't been any lyrics or any singing.
Yeah.
It's very lyrical to me.
The melody is very strong. Lyrical,
the composition.
All right, what's your first song going to be?
My first song is going to be by a band called Casey and Clayton, who are a band who have just been on tour with us. The song is called Dyin' Bedmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Dyin' is dying, but without the G, with an apostrophe instead of the G.
Oh, that's country speak.
Country speak, yeah. They're from the country. They're from the prairies of Canada, Saskatchewan.
Cool name.
Yeah. I think everybody that we're playing is, I think that the theme that's going to tie this show together is just that every song features guitar players that are better than you.
Thanks. Here's Casey and Clayton.
Speak ill of the dead. I will not speak ill of the dead. But I can't forget the words she said, lying in a dying bed. Some say kissing on that.
I know this is totally the wrong path and has nothing to do with anything they're about, but there's a whole like Zeppelin vibe there.
Totally.
But like that's not even in their bag, you know?
That's just an old school murder ballad. But the way that they've arranged it and the tone, the sounds that they're using and the reverb and the string arrangements, I agree with you, make it like a physical graffiti Led Zeppelin thing,
right?
But I think that's right in line with what they're doing sonically, because her voice, I mean, it's totally,
and her voice
apropos
sounds
of
like
her
that
voice.
Without, I mean,
yeah, that's just how she sounds when she sings in the living room,
right? Like she's got that voice where it sounds like there's a big hall reverb on it.
Yeah, always.
Like Jim James, right? That guy also has that voice.
Does he sound like that naturally?
Yeah, it's like when he sings, it sounds like there's a reverb trail after his voice.
I've never heard him sing other than like on a microphone or on record, so I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think actually the way that they think, way that Casey and Clayton think about guitar and singing is really consistent with that arrangement. I don't think that's an anomalous arrangement for them. But anyway, for me, like, I can't listen to them and not completely trance out, zone out on her voice.
Right.
It's impossible. It's totally overcomes me every time. That Casey and Clayton song, Dying Bedmaker, is off of an album called Strange Country, which I believe should be out in the beginning of 2016.
Oh, it's not out yet?
No, it's not out yet. It's coming out soon.
Okay.
They have other albums out that you can go buy and listen to now.
Yeah. Well, from an album that is already out as of a few weeks ago, I'm going to take a complete left turn here and play a Californian band called Super Humanoids. This is called Anxious in Venice.
Thank you. echoes of burning light expose what's true.
Super Humanoids, Anxious in Venice. That's from an album called Do You Feel Okay? It came out September 11th.
And we are the Milk Carton Kids, your guest hosts for the day. And Super Humanoids are clearly one of our biggest influences.
I mean, that was a mediocre joke. I mean, entertaining, I guess. But that just sounds like you didn't really want to put much thought into coming up with something super original to say, and you just went for a real obvious kind
of... Right down the middle.
Yeah. Did you like that song?
I did like that song.
Had you ever heard that song
before? I never heard the band before.
No.
How do you know them?
They're a trio from LA. I used to go to their shows. I was reading about... Somewhere it says that they've only been a band since 2010, but I swear I'd seen them. Maybe they had a different lineup or something before that. But, you know, I'd see them around L.A. They'd play the Echo and stuff. I always thought that the writing, particularly, you know me, I don't really hear lyrics ever. And so I still, sorry, Cam and Max and Sarah from Superhumanoids, I haven't heard the lyrics from that song. I've listened to it a lot, but I don't ever hear them. But I think she's got an incredible voice, and I think the three of them write in a really compelling way. Like, could you keep from bobbing your head?
No.
That's like such a strong pocket that they found. And then that weird noise, droids, or whatever the things say. Yeah, it sounds like the droid ringtone on someone's droid. And then it's got that cool minor third harmony. So cool. I don't know where they got that sound. Sounds like Dr. Spatzo. Do you remember Dr. Spatzo?
Mm-mm.
The IBM 386s in the early 90s, they had a sound card called a Master Blaster. And the first Master Blaster had a guy named Dr. Spatzo. That was the first, like, text-to-speech algorithm.
Uh-huh.
And, like that Radiohead song where they write, the computer voice the whole time? I don't know if they used Dr. Spatzo.
Bigger, stronger.
Right. I don't know if they used Dr. Spatzo, but it sounded identical to Dr. Spatzo.
Bitter happier.
Anyway, I think Dr. Spatzo made a singing appearance on Anxious in Venice here.
I wouldn't be surprised. All right, what's our next song?
Well, I just chose, so now it's your choice.
I'll play a song for you. Kenneth, you know Blake Mills personally, right? Have you listened to his records?
That was two questions?
Yeah.
That was confusing how you asked that. I know him personally, yes. And yeah, I've listened to his records.
I'll play a song from his 2010 album called Break Mirrors.
Oh, not his new one? Hi-Ho?
Not the new one.
Hi-Ho, Hi-Ho.
It's off to work we go.
Right.
But in any case, the song that I'm going to play is not even from that album. It's from his prior album called Break Mirrors, the closing track of which is entitled History of My Life.
Hot pink catamarans, food begging call of the pelicans, skimming garbage and sifting on disappointing gifts from friends. And oh God, couldn't I just change the history of my life sometimes? The history of my life sometimes. I'm growing my hair out on my head and on my face right now. Gonna try real hard to keep them from speaking very loud. Oh God, why couldn't I just change the history of my life sometimes? The history of my life sometimes. Some feel when the rains never fail, the sky owes the ground a wishing well. But I'm living in a dry spell, throwing ashes into flames. Oh God, couldn't I just change the history of my life sometimes? The history of my life sometimes. I've been smiling so hard that I couldn't hardly see when my parents weren't in love, that were still taking care of me. And I've taken a much more than some people ever see in their lifetime. And maybe I know something that's turning the sea around, and the sun is sprouting seeds from underground, and someone is coming to rely. Change the history of my life somehow. The history of my life somehow. The history of my life somehow.
Now, I find that to be an interesting choice in that my impression has been that Blake gets like his due and credit as a, you know, a guitar slinger and all that. And I, you know, I, the guy's a pretty masterful songwriter, but, you know, as an artist, when you're getting promotion, is it frustrating when somebody picks material that represents a specific side of you but maybe doesn't catch the main thread? Is that problematic?
It is for me as an artist. For us as an artist, I think it is. But this is representative specifically of Blake Mills as a solo performer.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't read an article about Blake Mills that doesn't spend the majority of the time on his virtuosity as a guitar player. But if you listen to this entire album, there's almost none of that featured, which I think is the point for him as a solo artist, being able to play the guitar as well and as in as many of a variety of ways as he can is not the point. The frustrating thing for me is I think he's potentially misunderstood in that way. It's because when you're such a standout, we have such remarkable ability in one area, then that's all people want to give you credit for. But the reason I like listening to Blake is lyrics. This song in particular features none of the guitar playing for which he's known.
The history of my life, I'd want to change sometimes. That, I mean, he could have just shortened that up, say, I have regrets, right?
No, specifically that phrase. And he changes it in the end and says, that couldn't I just change the history of my life somehow?
Right.
Which to me is less powerful than the way that it happens all throughout the rest of the song, which is, couldn't I just change the history of my life sometimes?
Like that sometimes he wants to change it, sometimes he doesn't?
Correct. The conflict, the internal conflict in that is so deep and palpable and relatable to me that it's also the type of line I can envision writing without realizing how meaningful that little misdirection is. But
are you calling Blake Mills an idiot savant?
I don't know. Maybe he knew exactly what he was doing, but I could see this coming out as something somewhat unintentional, but it's an incredibly powerful thing to say, that you'd like to change everything about the entire history of your life, but only sometimes.
Right. Yeah, that is relatable. I mean, is that me and you, or do you think that's think that's part of the human experience?
I think it's universal.
Yeah. If I had one thing I wanted to change sometimes, it was my choice of bandmate.
Only sometimes, though.
Sometimes. Particularly yesterday and today.
Most of the things I've read about the Break Mirrors album in 2010, I mean, like, before anything else, they put in, like, a disclaimer, like, about how there's no guitar playing on the album.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is also stupid. I mean,
right, why call it out?
Why do you need that disclaimer? All right, what do you got next?
I've got a wonderful singer named Cecile McLaurin-Salvant. This is a song that she wrote that just came out on a new record a few weeks ago. The song's called Look At Me, and we'll talk about it after we hear it.
Look at me. Why don't you look at me the way you look at all the other girls you see? I'm your friend, I guess I'll always be. But I'm in love with you. All of the time I've lost trying to make you come to me at any cost. All I was, all that I'll ever be, is just a clown for you when you're blue. Blue as the nights I wished we'd spend together. What a lovely time together. Blue as that glimpse of light when I almost think you might just look at me. Mm-hmm. to do is spend my lonely life loving you.
That's Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, Look at Me, from an album out this year, very recently, called For One to Love on Mac Avenue.
That song should be called The Friend Zone.
Oh, that's how she introduced it at her show.
What? She said?
In New York. She, you know, because she was playing the Jazz Standard a few weeks ago, and I went. And, you know, in jazz clubs in New York, the audiences there are even older and whiter than what they are at a Milk Carton Kids show.
I find that hard to believe.
No, it really is. And before playing that song, she asked the crowd, she said, "Do you guys know what the friend zone is?" And of course they didn't. And so she explained to them what the friend zone was and said, "This song is about the friend zone."
Huh.
So you nailed that.
Well, I hope she makes it out of the friend zone.
If you're in the friend zone and you need to get out of the friend zone, the next best thing is writing a song about how terrible the friend zone is.
Right.
She might have gotten out of the friend zone just on account of singing a song about it.
You think she played the guy that song?
No, I don't think she got out of that friend zone. She just realized the friend zone is BS. If you're in the friend zone with somebody, maybe you should get over it and move on.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
Right. And what better way to do that than write a song about it?
That's how I feel about it anyway.
Is that how you've gotten out of friend zones in the past?
I've never been in the friend zone.
You've never been in the friend zone?
Oh, I've been in the friend zone a bunch of times for sure. But not lately, you know?
My whole life until about age 21 was just one big friend zone.
That's right. You looked like Alfred E. Newman from the.
We know what it's from. And that's not the first time that somebody said that to me. Usually the people that said that to me were the people putting me in the friend zone.
The high school bullies. Oh, you got friend zoned as Alfred E. Newman?
Yeah, like the girls I liked would be like, "I really like you as a friend, but you look like Alfred E. Newman."
Yeah, the friend zone's pretty tricky, I guess.
It's the worst.
Do you think these people know what the friend zone is? We've been talking about it for a while. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, for my last song, I'd like to play a song by a guitar player called Julian Lage. That's Lage.
You're just picking guitar players today, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's weird considering you're not much of a guitar player yourself.
Well, it's aspirational. Aspirational playlist. But the first two bands that I played were by virtuosic guitar players that were specifically restraining the display of their talents and the songs that I played. In this song by Julian Lage, you hear, I mean, it's an instrumental, and I think it's appropriate to close out the set, which started with a guitar instrumental, which is compositionally so strong that you kind of get to the end and forget that there haven't been any words. But that was my entire experience with Julian Lage's album World's Fair, from which this song is taken. I listened to this for about 3 weeks straight, and in my mind, there's stories, there are narratives, there's dramatic arc, and it's an album of solo guitar playing. Thank you.
I mean, that's just a guy with a 0018 Martin from the late 30s. And it sounds like he's got about eight hands.
It's Julian Lodge. That's what he does.
That's crazy. I like how you can hear him breathe.
I love how you can hear him breathe. In the Blake Mills song I played earlier, for the first time ever, I realized that he just clears his throat right in the middle of the song.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah, but he does it right in tune. One of my other favorite weird noises on an album is on Paul Simon's album, Paul Simon.
That's the title?
Yeah.
Paul Simon.
Uh-huh.
It's probably one of the first, huh?
And his, on the song, I forget the title of the song, but I think it's Everything Put Together Falls Apart or whatever.
Right.
He just scratches his face.
Oh, on the microphone?
Yeah, right in the middle of
like,
his take.
Like
no,
that.
No, like he stops playing the guitar and scratches his beard and it sounds like this.
Oh, weird.
Like right, there's like kind of a pause in one of the lines and you can...
I mean, that guy was just high for all those records, right? He's like a weird genius and then he was super high.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Did Art Garfunkel also name his first solo album Paul Simon? Anyway, this has gone on too long. But this was pretty fun, Joey, I guess. As far as all the ways that would require me to spend time in a room with you, this is a top three.
What are the other two?
I can't think of them right now. Well, thanks, Bob and Robin, for having us.
Bob and Robin.
Hopefully you'll hear from us again.
We are the Milk Carton Kids, and this was All Songs Considered.
Hey, so guys. Guys, we got your drinks.
Guys, do you have any...
Quickly, it's going to spill.
Oh, I think this one's Kenneth's.